This evening's scripturing will come from Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see everyone back. I know we had a wonderful fellowship meal and a time this afternoon. So hopefully you've been able to take your afternoon naps if you needed one. And you're bright-eyed and ready to spend a little bit of time in God's words this evening. If you want to open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be spending all of our time there this evening. One of Paul's most quoted statements is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. These often have been referred to Paul's most famous words. Others have noted that it's the comprehensive message of Philippians chapter 4. And it's very challenging for the English translations to convey just how power-packed this verse is. It's been translated a number of different ways, in various ways, including, I have the strength for every situation through the one who gives me power. I can do all things through Him who infuses strength into me. I can continue to do all things through Him who constantly strengthens me. When we look at this statement by Paul, we can break it into a couple points. We can say, look at, I can do. I can do is actually translated from a single Greek word meaning strong. The word strengthens is translated from a Greek word where we derive the word dynamite. So kind of putting these things together, the language expresses the thought, I am strong for anything through Christ who gives me power. Now, in the immediate context, Paul is saying that Christ, that through Christ, he has the power to handle the ups and the downs of life. In the strength of the Lord, Paul could endure any extremity of life. We notice that some of life's situations, they can be cured, but we know others must be endured. Christ's power allows us to make the most of any circumstances with joy. As we walk with Christ, God provides us the strength that we need. We can think of this passage as saying, I can do all things through the Lord. What I can do all things the Lord requires of me. All things consistent with His will. And when we say it in this way, any excuses we may have, they're addressed. So the bottom line is if the Lord asks us to do something, we can do it. This evening, I just want to spend a little bit of time just examining some very practical applications of this passage. First, it's important for us to say, I can. It's important for us to say, I can. Saying, I can, is the difference between victory and defeat. You know, there's a mentality that produces this negative, predetermined outcome when we say, I can't. I can't master my moods. I can't bridle my tongue. I just can't love some people. I can't be a good Bible student. I can't talk to others about Christ. This attitude makes victory a virtual impossibility and it practically ensures defeat. We must say, I can. You know, when 2 Timothy was written, Timothy was faced with a very difficult, tough situation in Ephesus. Timothy received this letter from Paul, which told him of Paul's imprisonment, his likely execution. But Paul implores Timothy to stand firm for Christ and be willing to suffer hardship while facing all of the false teachers that he had to deal with. It would require him to be strong for the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, and he also tells us as well, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Paul effectively wanted Timothy to say, "I can. I can." Paul called for courage and for confidence, which God gives those who walk by faith in Him. And it's important to say, "I can," rather than, "Well, I'll just try." There was a story told of a young man who was wounded in World War I, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. His doctor, who was a neurologist, along with a number of other therapists, they just faithfully employed these procedures that were supposed to help him get better. You know, and it's amazing because the young soldier was actually making some very encouraging physical progress. But it seemed like every time he got up to stand, it always ended in failure. Now the doctor was just completely convinced that there was no physiological reason that he should not be walking and for those failures. And he spent time just working with that young man, trying to cause him to say just within himself, "I can, I can." Ultimately, these efforts were successful. The man's attitude changed to "I can," and just a few weeks later, he was out playing football. This actually has a counterpart spiritually. As long as we are thinking, "I can't," then we're correct. We can't. My parents had a statement that I won't forget. I didn't ever like to hear it, but they had a statement. And they said, whenever I said, "I can't," they said, "Can't never could do anything." I see some of you shaking your heads. You may have heard that same statement. I never liked that statement, but it's a true statement. Can't, never, could do anything. You know, but when our inner can't is changed into can, moods are mastered, tongues are bridled, and lives are changed. It's just crucially important that we say, "I can." And not only is it important for us to say, "I can," secondly, it's imperative for us to say, "I can," the way Paul did. The way Paul did. Paul simply didn't put "I can" and then just put a period at the end of the sentence, right? He didn't end the sentence right there, "I can," and just put a period there. You know, stopping the sentence there would have just left out that great dynamic of Christ. And it would have left the readers and us believing, you know, that we'd just be disillusioned, thinking that Paul had some great inner strength that we don't have, or we couldn't ever come about, that he had something there that we do not have. We can't do all things in and of ourselves. We can't. No one can, not even Paul. Thus, it was vital to say it as Paul did. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, He said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Thus Paul says that we can do all things through him who infuses me with strength. Christ is the difference between nothing and all things. Jesus is that dynamic. He's the power of helping us to fulfill his commands. It's that enabling, that indwelling of Christ who provides the power in the life of a Christian. You know, there'll never be a trial, there'll never be a temptation or a problem which we face for which the resources of Jesus Christ are inadequate. It's imperative that we say, I can, the way Paul did. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thirdly, it's impressive to see the range of possibilities when we say, I can, the way Paul did. You know, whatever our area of struggle, kind of our personal battlefield, it all comes within the scope of this very powerful principle. And we can take some examples, and I'll take some examples from the preceding verses, beginning back in chapter 4, verse 1, that help to illustrate the range of possibilities. These aren't all the possibilities. It's not bracketing all of the possibilities. It's just starting to begin to help us to think about the range of possibilities. And I'll admit, as I'm putting these together, although we talk about these a lot, they're challenging. They're very challenging for us. And I'm sure for many of us, we may struggle with a few of these. And there's certainly some that I'm going to be looking at and working on much harder. But I know that I need to say I can the way Paul did. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, twice in one verse he calls the Philippians my beloved. So the first aspect, I can love others the way God wants me to. I can love others the way God wants me to. So we have Paul, and we got to think of the times which this was written. We have Paul, who is a Jew, writing to a predominantly Gentile church. It was made up of mainly Gentiles. How's that? And he's addressing them with this term of affection. Very difficult. We tend to forget about the fact that there was still a long divide between Jews and Gentiles. And he's writing to this congregation, made up primarily of Gentiles, saying, my beloved, term of affection. When we say, I can, as Paul did, we say, I can love. I can love my brothers and sisters in Christ, even if they may be challenging at times. I can love my enemies. I can love those who maybe in some very just superficial ways are just different from me. Through Christ who enables me, I can love others. Next, I can forgive and I can be reconciled. In verse 2 of chapter 4, Paul writes, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. The situation like those between these two women not getting along sometimes results in divisions that just continue on for years. However, when we say, I can, as Paul did, we can say, I can forgive, I can forget, I can be reconciled. You know, someone said, a chip on the shoulder indicates wood higher up. Carrying a chip on our shoulder, some kind of a grudge or a grievance, certainly indicates a lack of that self-emptying mind that Jesus Christ had. We talked about that earlier in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And it's an unwillingness to say, I can, the way that Paul did. Through Christ who strengthens me, forgiveness and reconciliation are a reality. I can also be a peacemaker. I can be a peacemaker. In verse 3, Paul writes, indeed, true companion, I ask you to help these women. So the ministry of being a peacemaker, one of reconciliation, was committed to Paul's co-worker. We don't know who that was. He or she is unnamed. But he gave them the charge of being a peacemaker. It can be our ministry today when we say, I can, the way Paul did. We certainly need brothers and sisters to help work unite folks that have been previously separated. You know, so many communities and homes, even congregations, that just have been torn apart by division. Peacemakers are so desperately needed today. And a great ministry of reconciliation awaits for us to fulfill. Next, I can be happy. I can be full of joy. Paul instructs us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Now, Abraham Lincoln said, most men are about as happy as they make their minds up to be. Now, there's certainly an element of truth to what Lincoln said, but Paul goes beyond that to tell us the true dynamic for real joy. Paul said we are to rejoice in the Lord, and in the Lord is where our joy emanates from. Saying, I can, in the way that Paul did, enables Christians to say, I can be happy, I can be full of joy, no matter what situation we're facing. Next, I can be gentle and I can be gracious. Paul tells us in verse 5 of chapter 4, he says, let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. You know, we don't have to go through life as social sandpaper. We don't have to. I don't have to be abrasive and harsh in dealing with others. Even while I may be enduring hostility and ill treatment, we can exhibit gentleness. Power under control, just as Christ did. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Through Christ who enables me, I can let my graciousness and gentleness be known to all men. Next, I can overcome worry. I warned you up front, a lot of these are just challenging. As we walk our way through it, I'm walking my way through these as well. So this message is as much for me and probably more so than maybe for any of you. But I can overcome worry. As Paul writes in verses 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We can be released from the demoralizing grip of worry. When I worry about nothing, I pray about everything. I'm grateful for all things, then God's peace will guard my heart. Saying I can, as Paul did, I can overcome worry, can overcome anxiety, and I can overcome fear. Next, I can control my thoughts. In verse 8, through Christ dwelling in us, we can meditate on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is holy, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, we dwell on those things. Now, we may not be able to keep those thoughts that are worrying us, maybe that are just wrong, that are weakening us spiritually, just from flying through our minds. But we certainly don't have to cage them in. We don't have to hold them in our minds. Saying, "I can," as Paul did, we can confidently affirm that through the Lord, we can control our thoughts. As Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, our thoughts can be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then finally, I can be content in any situation. You know, no matter what our situation, we can be content as Paul was. In verses 10 through 13, Paul writes, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's interesting to note that Paul didn't qualify his statement using his current situation as an excuse, saying, "Well, under the circumstances, I can do this." You know, because Paul was never under the circumstances. Whether he was free or whether he was imprisoned, whether he was filled or whether he was hungry, whether he had adequate means or he was in need, Paul knew that he was not self-sufficient, but that he relied on Christ. And just like Paul, we can learn to be very content in a materialistic world. We can live pure, we can live moral lives in a very immoral world. We can focus our lives on things of God in a world that just seeks sinful pleasures. We can give ourselves to Jesus alone in an idolatrous world. You know, these verses just help us just to begin to see the possibilities of what we can do through Christ who strengthens us. When we say, "I can," as Paul did, we can be strong to live the way God wants us to endure any situation through Christ who gives us strength. And we see that the Lord is the source of abiding strength, according to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the passage that was read this evening. Paul had been initiated into the secret of contentment by learning to rely on Christ. He was not self-sufficient by his own resources, but because of Christ's resources. Paul learned what God wants every Christian to know. We're not reliant or dependent on things or circumstances, but we are completely dependent on Christ. We're completely dependent upon Christ. As Christians, we make that dynamic principle of Philippians 4:13 part of us. Our lives will never, ever be the same again. All things through Christ has the ability to transform us, has the ability to transform us as Christians. And we need to rely on the secret that Paul discovered, which was Jesus Christ. Knowing Him, being in Him, staying in Him, learning to trust and rely on Him. Under all the changing circumstances that we'll face in life and that Paul faced, Paul strengthened by the sustaining power of Christ. And we should be too. Paul did not depend on his own strength or his own ability, but had complete reliance on the Lord, trusting in the sustaining Christ to give him the strength he needed. You know, many times we may get discouraged, we may feel overwhelmed with the challenges of living the way that God wants us to. Maybe with others, just with everyday life, maybe with our health, whatever is our own spiritual battlefield that we're facing. But we need to continue to know that all that the Lord wants us to be and to do become reality through Christ who strengthens us. You know, this evening there may be those who are ready to put on Christ and to enjoy that strength to help them live the way they want to. There may be others in the audience this evening. They're just struggling their daily walk. They need to change "I can't" into "I can." And to say it the way Paul did, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." If you have any spiritual need this evening, if we can help you in any way, just ask that you come forward now as we stand and sing.